Harmony of the Gospels. Harmony of the Gospels. Jesus has been teaching concerning the kingdom of God. We've got the parable this morning of the 10 minas. I want you to see who and what they had heard, according to verse 11, as we begin. Who and what had they just heard? Well, we're told, and of course, this particular aspect only appears in Luke. So you can follow, or you can follow on your sheets, whatever is easier for you. And as they heard these things. Now, we would like to review the Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10, and Jesus, he calls Zacchaeus. Remember? And Zacchaeus ran ahead, gotten up in a tree, and Jesus said, come on down. Today I got to eat in your place. And, of course, the end result was Zacchaeus got saved and was to follow the Lord. Now, look at verse 10 of Luke 19. And the question I'm asking you, what did Jesus say was the purpose of his coming to earth? Why did Jesus come to earth? Yeah, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. He's come to seek and save that which was lost. That's his purpose. Now remember that as we continue. And what were the people thinking that he was going to Jerusalem to do? What do you think a vast majority of the people, as he's making his journey now, as this will be his last journey to Jerusalem, what was going on in the minds of the people, and at least many of them, was Jesus' purpose of going to Jerusalem? Yeah, to be king. He was going to be king. That's what many of them thought. This is why when he's hung on the cross, so many of them were so despondent and so discouraged, because they thought this was Christ coming to reign as king. It's his next coming that he will reign as king and sovereign. This first time was to come and to die, to seek the lost. Come, die, be buried, and rose again the third day for our sins, for all who would believe on him. All right, now, read along with me as we look at this little paragraph on your sheet, because I make this statement from Luke 17, going all the way now to Luke 19, verse 27, Jesus is going to be talking about the coming kingdom and how his disciples, first of all, how they should be grateful. That was Luke 17, 11 through 19. The ex-leper. Remember, one of them came back and was thankful. How they should pray. Luke 18, verses 1 through 14. And how should they pray? Persistently. And how they should be childlike. Remember, who comes into the kingdom? You had to be humble like a little child. And how they should be like the healed blind man. And what did the healed blind man do? Come back and gave thanks and was thankful. And so we ought to be thankful. And then finally, Zacchaeus. He had like a childlike faith. Remember climbing up into the tree, said he could see the Lord? He has this childlike faith, which the Lord had previously talked about. You got to be humble as a child if you're going to enter into the kingdom of God. Now, having said all that, what does Jesus speak to them? Verse 11 says this, he added and spake a parable. Now we tell you what a parable is. It's a story. It can illustrate both a moral and spiritual lesson, okay? So he speaks this moral, spiritual lesson to them. Why did Jesus tell this parable? Well, it says two reasons. Because, one, he was nigh to Jerusalem. And secondly, because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. So he knows what they're thinking. He knows what they're feeling. Ah, the Lord is going to Jerusalem. He's going to reign as king. He's going to liberate us from the Roman Empire. And he's going to tell this parable to straighten our thinking out. Now, where did Jesus say the nobleman went? Verse 12. Now, he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country. And why did Jesus say he went there? Why, to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So I ask you some questions. Who do you think the nobleman represents in this parable? The Lord. The nobleman is the Lord, okay? And I ask you, well, where do you think he was going? Into a far country? Oh, no, he's even going further into Jerusalem. He's going where? He's going home to heaven, going to home to be with his Father. But wait, what else do we see here? And when was he going to come again? When he received his kingdom. So what are they saying? Well, he's going to Jerusalem, and he will be king over all of Israel. He's saying, wait a minute, I'm telling you about this nobleman, this himself. He's got to go to a far country. He's going into heaven. And after he receives his kingdom, he's coming again. When the Father says, all right, it's time for you to reign, he's coming back. All right? Now, but let's read on. What did the nobleman do before he left? Watch, on the very bottom of your first sheet. And he called, watch, his 10 servants. And he delivered them 10 pounds. And we'll find out. He didn't give 10 of them. He didn't give them 10 pounds. He gave each one a pound, all right? And he said unto them, occupy until I come. All right, keep that thought in mind. Let's look at page number 2. So I write to you, now each servant he received a pound, a minas, which was a certain rate, weight. That's the way they did it, by weights. And I mentioned to you, a minas was about 3 months' wages. So there was some substantial amount here. He gave to each one of his 10 servants this amount. All right? 3 months' wages. Then he says, occupy till I come. I tell you, the ESV says this, engage in business till I come. All right? That's what he wants them to do. How did the citizens respond to the nobleman? Look at verse 14. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. So a large populace is saying, he's gone. He's not coming back and reign over us. We're not going to have any part with him. So in reality, who are those individuals? Those who are they the ones who are receiving Christ? Are they the ones who are rejecting Christ? Because remember, the Bible says there's only two types of people. John 3, verse 36, speaks about those who have the Son have eternal life. Those who don't have the Son have the wrath of God abiding on them. So there's only two types of people in the world, those who received Christ and those who rejected him. They're saying, we're not going to have this one reign over us. No way. It's not going to happen. All right. Now, of course, the Pharisees and the Sadducees would be included in that. The religious leaders all rejected Christ. But there were many who were following him at this time also would reject him. When did the nobleman return? Look at this, verse 15. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received his kingdom, when God says it's time for you to go back and to take control of your kingdom, he's coming again. All right? Now, what did the nobleman do when he returned? Then he commanded these servants to be called unto him. To whom he'd given money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Remember, he gave me each one the 3 months' wages and said, okay, go and make something, do something. So he's coming. He's going to call each one in and see what they've done with the good gifts that God's given to them. This is the picture of here he is. He gives to us gifts. What are we doing with the gifts that God's given to us? The Bible teaches us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, every Christian has a gift. What are we doing with those gifts that God's given to us? Now watch. So I ask you this question. Well, what does Jesus expect of us while we await his coming? If we see though when he comes, he's going to call us in to give an account. And you saw what he's talking about. Who'd gain by trading, what's he expecting us, you and I, to be doing as we wait his second coming? Twiddling our thumbs? Managing. We're like stewards of God. The goods, the gifts that God's given to us, we are to be not just content to let them lie, but to put them to use, good use, all right? Now, let's see what happens. Then did the first servant tell the Lord, or what did the first servant tell the Lord? Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. Wow, okay. Well, what did the Lord say to him? And he said to him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. So this first one comes and says, hey, you're one, gain 10. And we see that he rewards this one by having authority over how many cities? 10 cities, all right? So he blesses him according to how he had been faithful in serving God with his goods and with his gifts. Well, let's see what happens next. What did the second servant tell the Lord? And the second came saying, Lord, thy pound has gained 5 pounds. What did the Lord say to him? And he said likewise to him, well, thou good servant, be thou hast been faithful, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 5 cities. So what had the servant done? Taken one and made 5 more. And how was the servant rewarded? Yeah, with 5 cities. We're rewarded, you know, what does God tell us? Whatever you sow, you're going to what? You're going to reap. So this is the thing. He said, look, here's what you sowed. Here's what you're going to reap. You sowed 5, you're going to reap 5. All right, so far, so good, right? Here comes the third one, verse 20. And another came saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. Now, why does this servant say he's done that? For I feared thee, because thou art an austere or a very severe man. Thou takest up what thou layest not down, and you requestest that thou didst not sow. What's he insinuating about his Lord? He's not what? Yeah, isn't that what he's saying? Well, you're not fair. Wow, you take up where you haven't laid down, and you request that which you didn't sow. What did we just say? Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. So he's trying to indicate, well, the Lord, you're not fair, and because I thought that you weren't fair, I just kept it. Because, boy, I didn't want to lose it. So I just kept it. Now, how did the Lord judge him? Listen to what he says. And he saith unto him, out of thy own mouth will I judge thee, because of what you just said. Thou wicked servant. He calls him a wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere or if severe man. He says, that's what, you know, if that's what you really thought, taking up that which I had not laid down, reaping that which I didn't sow. Now, I ask you this question. Do you really think this servant feared the Lord? And then I ask you the question, why or why not? Now, he says he's feared him. Said he feared him because he was a severe man. That. But do you think he feared him? No. What's one of the evidences we demonstrate that we fear God? We keep his commandments. There's two emotions, basic emotions, love and fear. And both of these emotions bear witness that we are, they're both demonstrated by the way we keep God's commandments. We love him, we keep his commandments. We fear him, we keep his commandments. And now he says he fears him. But he told these to take this and go make more. Did he take that and go make more? No. He just hung on to it. Now, what comes next? You might want to scratch your head on this one, but let's read on. What question does the Lord ask his servant? Wherefore, then, gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required my own, that is, usury, that is, interest? Why didn't you just at least take what I had, put it in the bank? You could earn 3 months or however long it was before he came, interest. So I write, look at it, if this servant really believed what he said he believed, then he would have at least put it into the bank and earned interest. Now, watch this. I write, if he represents a Christian, what kind of Christian does he represent? Are there Christians that say they fear God, but in reality they don't, as evidenced by the fact they don't keep his commandments? And the answer to that is yes. Now, he called him a wicked servant. What kind of Christian would he represent if he was a Christian? Certainly we would call him what kind of Christian? Carnal Christian. Fleshly Christian. As evidenced by his disobedience. Now, I ask you this question. Do you think he believed the Lord would come or could come at any time? I don't know, huh? I mean, if he really thought that the Lord was going to come and he could come at any time and call him in on the carpet to see what he'd been doing, or do you think he was thinking, it's been over a year. He hasn't come. I don't think he's coming back. They might have been that thought too. But anyway, let's see this. How did the Lord reward this third servant? And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. Now, what does that say about the spiritual condition of this man? I ask you, how many crowns do you think he received? Remember, we just got done studying the 5 crowns that a Christian can receive. How many of those 5 crowns do you think he received? If he was indeed a Christian, okay? Well, now watch. How did the others respond to what Jesus had just said, okay? And they said to him, Lord, well, he had 10 pounds. Why are you taking this 1 pound from this guy and giving it to the guy who's got 10? So they're indicating that God's not what? not fair. How could God do this? He's not fair. And what was Jesus' response to them in verse 26? For I say unto you, that unto everyone which hath shall be given. And for him that hath not, even that he hath shall be taken away from him. Now, on the top of your next page, I ask you this question. What does that mean to you? And I give you a little hint. Use it or lose it. Use it or lose it. You've heard that saying, you know, hey, we ought to use it or you're going to lose it. And, you know, this is what the Lord is saying. Look, you use those goods and gifts that I've given to you. Because if you don't, there's coming a time when you're going to lose it. Now, what does Jesus say is to happen to those who will not let the Lord reign over them? Remember those who said that we're not going to let you reign over us? He says, but those my enemies, he calls them enemies. Now, the other one was a wicked servant. Okay, that's why it's hard to tell whether we're talking about, you know, because there was called three back to him, right? And now he says, but those my enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring them hither and slay them before me. Now watch. How many received something from the Lord? In the beginning, do you remember? How many came and he gave them a pound? 10. Oh, how many had something to return to him? 2, maybe 3 gave him back, you know, what he had. So maybe 3. We could say maybe 3. And probably those 3 represent various Christians. Okay? Remember the parable concerning the soils, the 4 different types of soils, and the word of God fell on different soils, and, you know, the devil came and snatched away some. One soil had some, and it didn't endure. Others had some, dried out. The other was it was choked by roots, and they didn't. But there were some that landed on the good ground, but some brought forth what? 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Okay, so not every Christian brings forth all the fruit that they should be bringing forth. All right. Now you saw in this state, God gave everybody the same, gave them a pound. But you saw the one taking it and turning it into 10, another one take it, turning it into 5, one, he's bringing back what he got. So they may indicate Christians and how Christians, with God's goods and gifts that he gives to them, may produce more than others, right? But what you see is that God's going to reward them. Likewise. But the other 7, they represent his enemies, probably. Those who would not have him reign over them, as first stated. They wouldn't have him reign. So here we've got, you know, 7 not having anything to do with him. Well, and there might be some other meanings that you could grab out of that, but certainly there's those thoughts. But when we read the Bible, we want to discover what does that passage teach us about our God? What does this passage teach us about ourselves? So what did these verses teach us about our triune God? Anything? Something? Teaches a little bit about eschatology or things to come. What's it teaching us about Jesus? He had to go where? He had to go to heaven. And he's going to come again when the Father says, okay, now it's time for you to reign over your kingdom. All right, so we learned that about our God, God the Father, God the Son. Learn anything else? What's God done for his children? Given gifts. Given gifts. All right. What does the Lord expect of his children to do with these gifts? Sell them, use them, produce more and more. Okay, we see that. How is the Lord going to bless his children at the day of judgment? According to their works. You know, how faithful we've been with that which God has given to us. And of course, we also see that God's going to judge his what? Those who've rejected him. God's going to judge his enemies with death, meaning eternal death. Okay, so that's some of the things we learned about our Lord in this passage. Did we learn anything about mankind? There's some in this world, you know, many, if we see seven out of the ten not even coming, many are going to do what to the Lord? Reject him. Many are going to reject him. They will not have no part in him whatsoever. All right, we see that. What do we see about some who receive the gifts? Some Christians are more what than others? More generous, all right. More fruitful, that's a good word. Fruitful. Can you think of another word or more? Some, because we see them 10, 5, here's your one. Okay, again, the whole principle that we see that, you know, what Christians sow, they're going to reap. All right, we see those things. And if this was a Christian, it appears that there's some Christians may even lose their gifts, have their gifts taken from them. Now, we read this little passage, and we say, well, it's kind of interesting to read that today. But when we read the Word of God, we ought to read it with the thought of, okay, how can this change my behavior? How can and how should this passage change my behavior? All right. That should prompt us to say, you know what, I'm going to purpose to use the goods and the gifts that God's given to me in manifesting it more and more in the lives of others. Okay? What else? Be faithful in the little things. Be faithful in the little things. What about now the thought of knowing that he is going to judge those who reject him? What would be our role in something like that? What might we purpose in knowing that, as you just saw, God is going to, he's going to judge those who reject him. He's going to judge his enemies. We need to share the word with those who are presently rejecting God, that they might not reject him, but in fact receive him. Someone used the word prayer. Yeah, we need to pray for those and share the word with those who are presently rejecting Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior.
Example,
Mm-hmm. Bold. Well, it's interesting what you just said, kind of spurred something in my mind. The one said, the one that kept the one and didn't multiply it, he said he feared God. But I wonder if the reason why he didn't go out and utilize that gift, seeking to minister in the lives of others, it wasn't really God that he was fearing. It was really man that he was afraid of. Because let's be honest. I mean, you know, it ultimately, yes, it is, I don't fear God because I'm not obeying him. But there's also the fear of man that hinders us from utilizing the gifts and goods that God's given to us in ministering and seeking to encourage others in the faith. Anything else? Anyone else on this passage that we looked at today? Well, in this parable, he gives everybody the same. There's other parables where he gives more to one than to others, all right? So we see that that's a, you know, that there's times when God does give more gifts to individuals, and of course, he's going to expect more out of them. In this sense, that we see him giving, you know, the pound to each and every one of them, and, you know, I suppose the seven just went out and wasted the aspect of just saying, I don't care, I don't, he's not coming, I don't, I'm not gonna, he's not gonna reign over me. And they just spent what, you know, what they had. But in it, whichever parable you look at, one of the things you'll see that God is, he is very faithful and he's very just in giving to us according to our works. Now, the Bible teaches us we don't work to be saved. We trust in the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. But if we are truly Christians, if we have been born again from above, then it ought to be witnessed by the works that we do. And if someone is taking that which God has given to them, because every, you know, whether one is a Christian or not a Christian, God's still giving them gifts. All right, there are certain physical gifts, mental gifts, emotional gifts. Everybody's, you know, been blessed of God because they've been created by God. And but there's many that will just will not have him reign over them. And they're going to experience, you know, they're going to experience judgment. But what they will receive will be just, fair, and equal. And it's the same way about God's children. What they receive will be just, fair, and equal in the aspect that we're going to get according to the works that we've done for the Lord. So it all, words like this ought to motivate us all to want to do, more works and blessing others and loving others and showing kindness to others and compassion to others. All right, any other questions? All right, well, we're going to be knocking on the doors of Jerusalem next time. And, of course, it's going to take us yet, you know, we got seven more days in Jesus' life here, but these 7 days are going to take us a while to get through them because there's still a lot of scriptures that we're going through, but we're trying to harmonize. This particular passage only appears in Luke, so it was easy for us to just sit down in Luke today and look at it, but we'll continue next time. Heavenly Father, we are thanking you for your word and for the power of your word to change our lives. Lord, I pray that every one of us have read and taken heed today that we need to be busy about your work. Lord, doing that which is pleasing unto you and ministering in the lives of others, encouraging others. Lord, help each and every one of us to be an encourager. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.